Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roadside Edition of Cantina MX Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jaime Landeros, episode 312. Tonight, we're going to be going over the semifinal results for Liga MX and then talk about the game tomorrow between Chile and Mexico here in Austin. I'm currently on the road, so I apologize in advance for the sound quality going off of my MacBook. But before I go any further, let me welcome Joel to the podcast. Joel, how are we doing?
Doing good, Jaime. Doing good. A bit excited to see what this kid Flores does. And a lot of youth, Acevedo and some of these other upstarts getting their chance. And a good way to close the year for mi selección. I'm just going to ignore this new badge. I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. Been an eyesore, but what are you going to do?
We definitely got a new badge. We talked about it last episode. It's polarizing, as most rebranding is. And I'm not going to lie, we have a Partido Molero tomorrow here in Austin. I just got in. I already had my first case of the meat sweats. It's a real thing out here. Texas barbecue is something else. But unlike other Partidos Moleros, this one actually looks kind of promising because it's nothing but a bunch of youngins, including the Canadian Marcelo Flores, who will be making his debut. And I think we just got our third co-anchor today. Cheekies, is that you?
Hey, man.
He's back.
He's back, guys. We had a Twitter Spaces last week, and we had people come in, and they were asking you by name, and here you are, man. Welcome back.
Yeah, good to be back, man. What's been going on?
Has your internet been down for the last week?
My cable went out.
Your cable went out? Oh, man. We got Liga MX action, the semifinals. We had a feline versus feline, León and Tigres, but then we also had Pumas and Atlas on the other end. And Cheekies, what happened there, buddy?
Oh, no, man. From what I'm seeing, it looked like there's some controversy. Dineno got busted up. I'll admit I didn't even watch the game, but from what I've seen from Dineno's Twitter, from referees, it sounds like there was some controversy. But I'll give it to Atlas that they did what they had to do. And I put out a tweet because like they tied, right, and it was going by they tied the two games, and it was going by the ranked team. So of course Pumas, you know, you need to do what you got to do in the general in the league, throughout the league. You got to get your win. Yeah, we're talking about the Puma.
El Puma. For the Chilena, they hit the dude in the face. In the face.
See, Chilenas can be okay if you're not like crowded in with people. But if you're around people, yeah, it can be a little like the Raul Jimenez Chilena. There's a guy, but he had his back to him. He didn't get real close, so it was okay. Some Chilenas can be okay if you're crowded in. Then it can be an issue.
They not all Chilenas are equal.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, let me tell you this. I didn't even see it. I didn't even see the game. I saw Dineno's response, I saw Dineno's wife's response, and then I saw like a picture of it. And I can pretty much like, without even seeing something, I'm pretty much okay with Pumas losing and that being a non-call, because when you're going up for a header, you're not looking at the other player to like elbow him. You're just putting your arms up and you're trying to like deflect the ball, defend the ball, or do whatever. So I don't think that guy even saw Dineno and didn't do it intentionally. So it wasn't intentional. and I don't think it's a penalty.
Yeah, there wasn't malice on the attempt, but at the end of the day, there was some physical action there. And and in the end, a lot of people, of course, this always happens post-match, but Joel, I think you mentioned that Ramos Rizzo even said that that should have been called the penalty.
Yeah, he was saying that. So you could say malice, so it's like, that's why you don't red card or you don't yellow card the player, but you still call a falta. So, I mean, the contacto did exist because it's broken up, his busted up nose is proof of that. So, I mean, yeah, if that contacto and it was, that should have been called, in my opinion. Because, that you know, that's just what the rule is. Ni falta in the box is penalty. Doesn't matter if the ball is, the ball could be on the other side of the field.
And you punch somebody in the nads. In the penalty box, it ain't gonna be no penalty.
He said the nads. I don't know why. I just think that's so funny.
Or if it's in, so if it's in play, right? If it's in play, the ball doesn't have to be near you because they could do a, you know, they could cross the ball into the box, and the ball could be like 50 feet in the air. If it's like Guardado cross, it would be like 100 feet in the air. And then you get out the falta, then they would, it would be called.
No, but tell me this. Like when Raul Jimenez got his head cracked, did the other guy get a red card?
He didn't even get a foul or anything. That was a straight up, like, they ruled it an accident.
Yeah, so that's what I think this is. It's just, you're both going up to compete for a ball, yeah. And you accidentally, like, if you're bringing your arms up to, like, protect it, that's a different thing, like your elbows up. But if you're just going up just to get the ball, just for a play, and you inadvertently like knock Dineno upside the nose, then I don't see an issue.
Yeah, but was it Jimenez? And now we're going off. But was it in the box when he got the falta?
Yes.
It was? No penalty, nada?
It was a corner kick. Yeah, no.
Dang.
Yes, it's exactly that, like inadvertent. Unintentional, accidental.
We need to bring the experts on this because I'm not. My thing is tarandula, chisme de lavadoras. So we need someone more with the knowledge on the FIFA and the FIFA rules because a lot of times open to interpretation into with the ref, you know.
Yeah. But here's another
some
thing.
Some refs will be more strict, and some refs will be, they kind of will let it turn into a WWE match.
Here's another thing to confuse things. Like, say you're running you're both running for a ball in the box, and you're like looking up in the air, and you accidentally, as the defender, you accidentally stick your feet in between the legs of the other dude and trip him up in the box, like accidentally, inadvertently. That could be called a penalty because you're obstructing. And like, say he would have got the ball and scored maybe. So you're obstructing the player, even if it's accidentally, that would be a penalty.
Like yeah. At the end of the day, Atlas, the combination of PKs and non-PKs, and then the fact that the away goal rule was eliminated, they've sort of found their way into a final. Maybe as like a fake or just like, I don't know, just a crazy string of luck. We're looking at Cruz Azul, who finally broke their curse after so long. Do you think that this is, going to happen with Atlas?
Cruz Azul was what, 18 years?
Yes.
But Atlas is like, what, 70?
Actually, it was 1997. 1997 was when Cruz Azul became champion, so. It was 14, no. 20, huh?
Wait, who? Okay. 90, 20 years?
24, if I'm, yeah, 24 years.
24?
Yep.
Damn. But still, Atlas, man.
70.
That's, we can't use so long next to Atlas because that just, you know, they're just at another level. And we say, waited so long. They're like, Alas is like the viejita from Titanic. And they bring her on board. They're looking for the heart of the sea or whatever. Remember the necklace? You guys never seen that movie?
Yeah.
Then like at the end, she's so old.
There's like a meme on that, like it's a Homer Simpson when he's young and then a Homer Simpson when he's old.
It's his dad.
It's when it was like 1951, going for the segunda, and then now going for the segunda, you know.
Yeah, it shows him getting ready and it says going for the segunda, and it's young Homer with, you know, full head of hair, and then the current one, and it's he's so old, his grandpa sends him now. They did have some grandpa dude right there. I don't know if you guys saw the match. I wouldn't ask him, hey, why are they bugging this guy?
Just let him have his moment. You know, he was old, man. He was, and you've seen this in England. You've seen this with Leicester City, you know, becoming champions, like, against all odds. You see this in football all the time. And I think, you know, with Atlas, they've been waiting a long time. I mean, it's been over 20 years since they even made a final. And they lost in 1999 against Toluca. So for them to just be here in the final, like, they're going to celebrate regardless. They might even celebrate a runner-up trophy.
Yeah, the second one. Dang, yeah. Yeah, that's a long, mighty long time. And fun fact, last time they reached the final, I mean that they won, against León.
Oh, are you kidding me?
There's a newspaper. I need to post it up. I think I shared it on the group, but yeah, they have an old newspaper clip. But let's verify with Twitter, because we don't want to be giving fake information, man. I'm pretty sure it was León.
That's incredible.
With León. And León back then, so León was like the first campeonísimo. They won like 3 or 4 championships in a row. And so they were one of the big teams. This was like in the 50s. Oh, whole different league, a bunch of teams that don't exist no more. But they were one of the first big teams to go on the winning streak. And then I think if Atlas beat them, you know, that was huge.
I think back in 1951, it was just a long format. And it says that Atlas played 22 games and they got 30 points.
But to beat them, I mean, like, they could have not beat them in a head-to-head.
Oh, but to like, clinch?
Yeah, clinch. They're like, they was like,
oh,
it was.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sort of like the Barça, Real Madrid.
Oh, like, wow.
I think that's who they hold on.
That could have been true because Atlas had 30 points. Second place was Atlante with 29. Necaxa had 28. And then León had 26.
Oh, I think then they beat them in the last match day.
Oh, to get the most points. Who was the general table?
Yeah, it was 12 teams.
That's what I was saying, man. Like, so Pumas lost because Pumas didn't advance because they were the lower ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where like the general table actually matters. So getting rid of the way goal and not doing penalties actually goes back to like your long season, your regular season performance, which is legit because that's how you are as a team throughout the long term, and that's what's measured to be like a champion. So they, I think, deservedly passed Pumas, and like say in the World Cup, if you went by rank and you did no penalties, instead of just being like a single tournament, a single game where, you know, anything could happen, you need to take into consideration your whole like World Cup cycle,
like the ranking,
or your whole regular season. Yeah, your whole ranking needs to matter a little bit more. I know we just want to see Liguilla, or we just want to see like a single head-to-head matchup between two teams and say, okay, whoever wins, and not, and you know, just forget about the regular season. Why even play the regular season? So I think that's legit, and I hope my prediction or my hopes are for Atlas to win, partly because Leon, like anytime Leon and Santos win a title, I'm like, okay, these little scrubs are going to try to enter the big four, you know, the big equipos grandes and stuff. And Pumas, people always dispute Pumas.
You sound worried. No, let me.
He does sound worried.
I found the newspaper. Let me rectify here. It's, and I said it before, man, my mind likes to rewrite. Sometimes it does its own fan fiction. Here's the title, Atlas, Campeón de Liga. And here's what I misread. La victoria en el Clásico, de beat Chivas. Y la derrota de León le dieron el título. And so this must be a different table than the one you're looking at. But it's crazy because at the bottom, like the second story, un error de Carvajal perdió a León. And Carvajal was the, you know, la tota Carvajal, el cinco copas. It was the beast goalkeeper back then. So it's crazy newspaper here. Really old. It looks all beat up.
So if I'm not mistaken, Pumas only have 8 titles?
Pumas?
Chiquis doesn't even know, and he's a Pumas fan.
I think that sounds right.
Okay, here's the when they won. They won the 1950-1951 league title. Campeón de Liga. Here it is. Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't find it.
Pumas have won 7 Liga MX titles and 1 Copa MX.
Oh.
Yeah, it was this one that from the newspaper I was telling you. Now I'm seeing a third newspaper from Esto, which at one point was like one of the biggest.
So.
And it says, Coronó Atlas, el León se hundió en Veracruz. And I wonder if Pirata Fuente, he still... He was like in the 30s or 40s. I don't know if Pirata Fuente was the first GOAT Mexican player, or one of the first. So if someone wondering why that stadium was named after him, and he got to play in Argentina and Spain, you don't hear much about that dude. I don't think he was around. Let me see if I can find the tabla.
So if I'm not mistaken, León already has more titles than Pumas. So are they the bigger team?
They were historically they were one of the older teams, because Pumas didn't come into like the 60s. You know, they didn't really, they came through the university. They kind of worked their way up. But they weren't from the start, you know. They came in right when football was becoming popular in Mexico, going into the 70s. You know, Mexico hosted the first World Cup, and then in 86, Mexico hosted again. And then what Pumas' claim to fame was the whole working with youth. And I think 70, I believe... I'm not sure if 70 and 86, they had a lot of players that had came through their academy.
Yeah. Also, it's a Mexico City club. And
the university, the biggest university in Mexico, you know, the most known. Yeah. And so.
And a big following. And in Mexico, not a Pueblito club, you know?
Nada Santos.
Nada Provincia. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they have good fan base and stuff. So it's several factors making Pumas the great.
Is it oh, so? Cool. I at this point, it's a combination of location, history, and then just the amount of fans you guys have. Because if we're going off of silverware, America's number one, Chivas is number two, Toluca's number three, and Cruz Azul is number four.
Yeah, that's got to get a quite a good legit, like all like the big four teams there. Toluca mixes in there just because, you know, they had some good runs, but they're sort of out there. And although they have, I mean, they've had some good, they had some impressive, like that the fans at the end goal. I don't know what that Badra is called, but that's pretty impressive fan base that they have a little bit.
As far as popularity go, I think we can all agree that Toluca is not like a, they don't have a really large fan base.
Yeah.
I would say Atlas probably have a larger fan base.
Oh, they do. Yeah, Atlas is huge. Huge following. But Atlas in Mexico, you know, outside of Mex, they haven't been. Or even not so much outside of like Jalisco.
Yeah, Jalisco. Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, looking into the final, this is very exciting for the city of Guadalajara. They're going to be closing at home. So it's a really big deal. You know, I think, I can't remember the last time Liceo Jalisco hosted a final. Have to go back to like, man, when's the last time? Like 98? When Chivas lost to Necaxa?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But on the other side of things, we had León and Tigres. And León actually kind of got the rug pulled under them on that first leg. They were winning thanks to Jimenez. And then at the very last minute, Florin Thauvin, the World Cup winner, ended up drawing the game with a crazy, crazy scissor kick. And then Coco Liso ended up scoring the game-winning goal in that first leg. So Tigres just pulled a complete 180 on León, who looked like they were going to walk away with the victory. However, in León, Guanajuato, León took advantage of the home field, scored very early in the match, and ended up winning the game 2-1.
Which was a draw in the global.
Correct. Was a draw and a global, and they get through because they ended in third position versus Tigres' fourth position.
Yeah, a lot of draws.
Yeah, if you look at both finalists, actually, they got through on draws. In fact, Atlas have drawn their way to a final.
One of their, they make their way in empates, man. I think Chivas did that.
I was about to say, Chivas did that when they won their last title because they beat, well, they didn't technically. They got through against Atlas and then against Toluca, and then they beat Tigres fair and square. But they did kind of benefit from the league table standings.
Yeah, I never mind that because that's the, like the reward for ending, you know, for having a good season.
What I'm trying to figure out is what happened to the Pumas that beat America 3-1? Like, what happened to that team? Why did they get into this game against Atlas and just disappear? I don't, it was like two completely different teams. I don't understand what happened there.
Coaching, you know, that's a lot of times. Figure out how you're going to, you know, como se para el equipo and whatnot. Who's being your motor? How to put a stop on that dude. Which is what the criticism has been on. Solari saying he doesn't know how to play Liguilla.
back-to-back elimination quarterfinal for America. What were we saying, Chiquis? Oh, yeah.
Well, like, there's two reasons, and I didn't. I'm just like speculating and just talking smack out of nowhere, so I can be shut down whenever. But I didn't see the Atlas game matchup. I saw some of the America Pumas, but there's two reasons. One, you play up to your competition, and especially America, there's that rivalry is heated. So Pumas isn't gonna like sit around. So they put everything into beating America, and they did so. Mainly Alan Mosso. I think that dude was like the locomotive behind that win. And he probably didn't, you know, just didn't show up, or they shut him down. They concentrated on him in the Atlas game, and the opportunities weren't there. So also, like, when I was watching the America game versus Pumas, the announcer, and I don't have like the like Joel has the Chofis watch. I don't have the Alan Mosso watch, but the announcer was saying that Alan Mosso, you know, he could be like the greatest star player for Pumas and for even like the national team if he would just like ease up on the partying and the nightlife. So I guess he's got a reputation also.
Wait, who has a reputation?
Alan Mosso.
Oh, wow.
And that was news to me, so I gotta look into that. Maybe he was like a little junior Chofis over here.
Oh, man. Yeah, these guys just... they lack that, you know, the mentality.
Young to succeed, kid with a lot of good talent.
Part of it. Because, like, we've heard of, like, that argument of, like, it shouldn't matter if you party. And I agree, but I also have to say, not everyone has like the mentality to do that and then come back and, you know, to be able to separate both, and then when not let it affect when you're at the club. So if you guys have seen the Maradona documentary that came out, or was it last year or was it 2 years ago? But man, he would work his ass out, so he would party after the game, and then the next day he would just be like, he would go ham on the training.
I thought he partied until like Wednesday, and then after that, be like full blast at training.
Yeah, see, but and that's something that we saw was lacking with Trophies. He would show up overweight, so he's still going ham on the beer.
Yeah.
So looking at this final, Leon versus Atlas. Atlas closing at home. Leon recently won a title under Nacho Ambriz. Now they have a different coach, but the team is more or less the same. Do you guys see Leon winning this, or will the emotions and the energy and this crazy luck that Atlas have had, and maybe even some help with the referee, do you see Atlas finally winning a title after 70 years?
I think Atlas can take it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it could go either way, you know. As you said, Leon won not too long ago. They have a good coach, proven to be a good coach. They had won in Argentina, you know. Came here, already won a league with League's Cup, I guess, a tournament. He's in the final, so Olan, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I think it could go. We'll go either way. It's going to be interesting to see it, man. And if you're an Atlas fan, how heartbreaking, disappointing would it be if they lost?
Yeah, I think this one, like, you got everything in your favor. You got the you're gonna be closing in at home.
Yeah, well, the pressure's gonna be on them, certainly. No, it's gonna be.
This time, if it does go to a draw, there's overtime and then there's penalties. You know what? I got a feeling that it's gonna go down just like it did in '99. I think it's gonna go down to a PK shootout.
Oh dang. We'll see. We shall see. But this is also something worth mentioning. This is Grupo Orlegi versus Grupo Pachuca.
Both got a lot of investment riding on this.
Yeah, but it shows how well they managed to, like, you know, they kind of figured out how to game the system, if you will.
They got an algorithm, and it's working.
Yeah, because they don't spend a lot of money. The big spender is Monterrey and Tigres. But, like, when you look at Pachuca, even with Atlas, like, you didn't hear any big splash, big-name signings. They sent over Furch, but Furch's been with Santos,
Veracruz,
Chosorlegi. Yeah, but he's a player that they've owned before, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it was difficult to get him. Really good player. I've always been surprised. I always thought he would be in a bigger team. His numbers are very good. But, you know, they've kind of figured out how to work this. And they don't, you know, they don't spend that much money. They do pretty good with bringing out some youth. And like I said, I think, I don't know so much for Pachuca, but I know Santos was every 3-4 years they were playing a final. And I do believe if Atlas wins, or if they could transfer that success, I do feel that Atlas would become their go-to team, you know? For the reasons we were talking about, Santos is just a small venue, you know, it's limited growth. But Atlas has that more, you know, that Guadalajara, Jalisco, just bigger, comes from a big city and whatnot.
No, I think this is that comet that shows up every 50 years. I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Atlas. I don't think
Grupo Orlegi can do.
I don't know if they can sustain this kind of success.
Well, I mean, look, they already made a final. How long have they been fully in charge of the team? A year, 2 years?
When did they take over? Actually, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like a year or 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Let me ask the internet.
But this, I mean, that's
really quick. What happened?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, because it seems like this might be the trend of teams and their strategic process to get titles. Like, normally you hear about the big teams like America buying players, buying the big name players on paper.
Wait, they took over 2019. They took over May of 2019.
Damn, that's a pretty good turnaround.
And they're already in the final.
That's pretty good, that's, man. Okay.
Right.
Sorry, and so continue. You have three teams that are sort of in that same type of position, although Pumas like sort of messed up things by getting rid of Coco Liso.
Yeah,
you got to sort of maintain like your team. León still has Mena, Meneses. Who else do they?
Chapo.
So they sort of
Cota.
Chapo. They maintain their guys. And, you know, makes small strategic changes. They don't go out and just say, oh, look at this, you know, big names, highlight player. Let's go get him like Tigres does, or like America does, or even like Chivas did whenever they spent all that money on
Rayados,
on like Lido and Rayados. All that stuff.
America has,
Rayados also
has sort of taken a back seat.
Yeah. America's more like Chivas now. They're promoting from within.
No, come on, like Chivas.
I mean, if you think about it,
more successful. You're insulting the
I'm just saying, like, in the last decade, America has exported more players to Europe than Chivas has.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying they switched up, because at one point America was that team, mm-hmm. that they would bring in, they would get like
the new flavor of the month.
Someone, No, if someone went to Europe and was coming back,
oh,
most likely to come, you know, like Hugo Sanchez comes back. And he played in America. You know, they would get, they would bring players that were seleccionados of other teams. You know, they would just go to the big names. Whoever was the big Mex player, they would get them. And then they sort of went crazy with the foreigners at one point where I remember they had like 30 players on their payroll. You know, they were all loaned out to different clubs in Mexico and South America, but it's like they were, they just kept buying players, trying to see, you know, if they could find or just land an yeah, and there's just complete fuckery there, but they sort of turned things around and they became more, you know, like with the spending, they stopped just bringing in these randos like they did with Fantik. I don't know if you guys remember Fantik. They paid about $2 million. I think he was related to Romario, like he was like a fifth cousin or something. And so there was this talk about Fantik, and supposedly they never even saw him play. They got him because they sent him like a YouTube video or something of his best plays. And he only played like 2 games. I don't think he even played 4 games.
Also, and, they would like rot. Like I think it changed. Like you know how they would steal teams from like Necaxa or Veracruz.
Come on, cheekies.
Well, they're like their sister teams, man.
Necaxa and San Luis.
Not stealing, but like you remember Cuauhtemoc was in Veracruz with Clever Boas.
Yeah.
And they were like dominating. All of a sudden, like the next season, they're with America, and that other dude Piojo, whatever his name is.
I don't think Clever Boas was sent. Did he start? Well, America would always try to go after the best players of the league.
Yeah,
at one point they owned Necaxa
and
they owned Atlante. And then, I don't know if Atlante, no.
San Luis.
People say that because it was in Azcárraga that owned Atlante. It was Burrillo Azcárraga owned Atlante, who's like, he was a cousin of Emilio, I think it's Emilio Azcárraga. You said it was San Luis, Necaxa, and America. And and people used to criticize and say that they were cheating. But how's it different than Grupo Pachuca sending Cota to León, you know? Yeah. Or as I mentioned just earlier, Grupo Orlegi sending Furch to Atlas. It's no different, man. People, it was just the media, the Mex media was just vilifying Atlas America. And mainly because of Televisa, you know, it's always been because they've had the control of the selección. They had the control of most teams. So that was always been, you know, especially Jose Fernandez. That was Ivan Faltosen when he started, that was their MO, you know, attack Televisa. So that meant attack America. You don't see people now criticizing these teams. It's no different than what America had done years ago. But I think they became a bit smarter, America, with their spending. Also, we got to realize Televisa now is no longer as strong as they used to be. Televisa's, you know, conglomerate of multimedia conglomerate. And so, I mean, they owned like radio, newspapers, magazines, of course, television. And a lot of that stuff is now digital.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't see TV now. You don't buy newspapers. You don't even have to listen to the radio. So they've lost a lot of like power in that sense. And there's other options now, especially because, you know, because of the internet.
Streaming, yeah.
So, yeah, Televisa. I mean, they're still strong in many ways, like politically and whatnot, but they're not the giant that they once were. But you know, Tigres and Monterrey are not as the club as who funds them, which FEMSA, second largest bottling distributor in the world, not just Mexico, but the world. And same with Cemex. in the world, not just Mexico, in the world. I mean, they wanted to. They could field a sick ass team. It would just be those two teams. If they went on like some rivalry spending spree, that dude, forget it. It would be a two team league, and it would be just them. And they would just bring in the, like, you know, just really top players. Fortunately, they're being kind and they're giving us a chance.
Who knows if they would mesh though? Like, that's what I'm sort of seeing the trend. Like, the point of all this discussion was that León is in the final, Atlas is in the final, Pumas did a good job, and Chivas and America were sort of left behind, and even Monterrey and Tigres, who were supposed to be like the big money players, who get all the, you know, the big players. But now you got to be more strategic in your signings. You got to hold on to your players a little longer so that they can be a cohesive team. They can mesh, and then you can get results later on. You can't just be.
I mean, it's the Liguilla, chicos. That's what I'm saying.
It's hard.
Well, yeah, they bank on that. They bank on that. If it went to long season, then what Grupo Orlegi and Grupo Pachuca is doing wouldn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
I'm not saying they will suck, but they will have to go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. But they're banking on the whole Liguilla thing, where it's like you basically need one really good game, right? It's two games. You have a really good game, and then you could control the second one, or you know, park the bus, and you know, like we saw Atlas scrape by all the way with a bunch of ties. I'm not talking shit, but that's, you know, they figured out, okay, what do we got to do? What gets the best results and whatnot? And that's what it is. But if it went to full season, then we would see, I would say, America, Cruz Azul, Tigres, and Monterrey being the more. Well, we did see León, though. So they're. But I think in part because there is Liguilla, so I don't think a lot of those teams, you know, would favor making much of a priority sometimes.
Well, still, like, if you have the big names on your team, yeah, you would surely dominate like a long season. But still, even in a Liguilla, you should have the advantage. You should have the upper hand against these teams. I think of Chivas, like that when Chivas got like all those signings, that one of them didn't fall through. Was it Victor Guzman didn't mm-hmm. like fell through?
Yeah,
Butcher Guzman.
They had like all those signings, and everyone was like drooling, dude. Like Chivas is getting all these players and stuff.
Chivas,
and then
yeah, but that was smoke and mirrors from the media because. Come on, think about it. A lot of these dudes weren't.
But it was, it was the first time in a long time that Chivas had actually made an effort to sign some players.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was those players weren't.
They were Mexican.
Calling them, mm-hmm. Yeah, but they weren't like to the point of calling them like Chivalácticos and all the stupid stuff. They weren't. They weren't at that level. They didn't compare to like when they had gotten. Like Gallito, Gullit, and all those other guys, Pizarro. I mean, that was the stronger Pulido. Team. Yeah, that was the stronger team that they got. This team, they had Antuna, Young. The most thing is how much they spent. But that's just the price because it was like,
the Chivas,
you know,
tax.
Yeah, and also inflation. There's not that many Mexican players now. So, you know, this guy costs more money.
We got a supply chain problem with Mexican players.
But yeah, there's I wonder a big why. Problem. It's they're like what was going on in Long Beach, and they were getting backed up with all the, with the boats with the docks. They had all the because don't.
They need to get more of the guys. They need to get more of the guys on the boats from South America.
I do think that might happen, Chiquis. I do think if the league stays kind of how they are, that they would get at least nacionalizados, like Funes Mori.
I don't think that's
whatnot.
Ever going to happen.
Hey, okay, well, they're technically Mexican.
Unless they...
So there you go.
Unless the ownership changes.
I think, well, I mean, you can't go that long without not playing finales. You know, you can't sustain that team going 10 years with one campeonato and playing 3-4 seasons of not even being in the Liguilla. That's just, it, you know, it's not sustainable. Pretty soon the Chivas well is going to dry up, you know. They're still living off Campeonísimo era. Just mentioned León, they were Campeonísimo, and they ended up, now they're like owned by Grupo Pachuca, you know. They're like, they're not even their own team. That's like Barcelona being owned by Getafe or something.
Español. Yeah. So, sounds like you guys are kind of on the fence of who's going to win this final.
No, because Liguilla, you know.
Yeah.
They both got their merits. Atlas did finish, had really good season. León's been there already. Who knows if those players still have the fire, you know, have that spark. Both very good coaches. I mean, they're quite even. Do we know how they did in their head-to-head?
I can check for you.
Yeah.
What I will say is that so far my predictions haven't gone that well. I thought it was going to be Tigres versus Atlas. And even before that, I had predicted América winning the whole thing. So I'm kind of done with making predictions. I will say, though, that what terrible coaching by Piojo, losing his head, and even before that, taking out your star player, Žižnjak. Like, what are you thinking? Like, when the game's on the line and you need a goal, why would you take out your captain? Or not your captain, but, you know, your best player. And then, obviously, Piojo losing his head and, you know, the fight. And just very unprofessional from Piojo. He's always been known to have a short temper. But would you consider this season for him a failure? Or what do you guys think?
I wouldn't. I think he's new to this team. It's not an easy team to manage. You know, a lot of big names, very high expectations. And I think he did all right. I think it's gonna take him a while to get them going, but he has them in the fight, you know. And some players are leaving, so he's gonna be able to bring in the type of player he likes. Well, that's one of the and the beliefs in his system too, because that's him going off of Menotti. I mean, not these three keys for success. There's having your system and having players that believe in your system. And I forgot the third. Like the dude from Dodgeball. The three Ds or the five.
duck, dip, dive, dive and dodge.
He repeats one of them.
Yeah.
But there was an article. It's a very while back. Aminotti was talking about, you know, the three fundamentals of you know, doing good as a coach. And he was saying that, like, you know, you have your system, your way of playing, and that you have players that are gonna, you know, believe in that and fight for it. So I think that what helps, you know, where ultimately he's gonna start replacing some of those guys. Let's see if they let him, though. Who knows? The way Tigres is managed a little bit different. I know they have, like, you know, they kind of want to be like this international type of team with Gignac and Talvin, and who knows who they might want to bring just to keep that going. And Piojo's always like some of these like scrappy dudes from the league. So let's see what happens there.
I do think it was a failure. I mean, yeah, I think it's a failure for Piojo.
Failure as opposed to, like, what would he have to do so it wouldn't be a failure?
Well, so my expectations for a Tigres with those star players with Piojo there would be to get to like the final, to not rage out, to not have a fight, to not have all that scandalous stuff going on. But at least it shows, I mean, even though it's a failure, I don't say fire him. I say, you know, it's just everything. If you lose, it's a failure. So there's a lot of failures that you're going to go through, but you're going to stick with Piojo. He still needs to be there. Like everything else you said is correct. He still needs to get some new players, have some more time with the team, get improve and get better. And at least it shows that he has passion. We all know he has passion, but he just has a hot head. He can't control himself. And that's just normal. But I think, you know, that's just a failure that happened, and he needs to improve and continue with the team and see what goes on in the next season.
It's like, you know, every time the Yankees lose a game, you know, it's considered a failure because the amount of payroll that they have, it's like, dude, you know, there's no excuse. You guys have the most expensive team in the league, and Tigres definitely have one of the most highest paid teams in the league. I do think that
High expectation.
The expectations are there with Tigres. I think they had what it took to beat León, but again, the emotions got the best of them. They sort of gave up when they could have had plenty of time. I mean, there was a lot of stoppage time. They had time to maybe get a last minute goal, but then, you know, the emotions got the best out of the bench and the coach. So I think he should take full responsibility because, you know, the players will respond the way you respond, you know. So if you're cool and if you're not, you know, playing by emotion, your players will also be disciplined. But, you know, Piojo got into it with one of the players and then the bench just went off. So I think from that perspective, you know, he should.
Players from his team or the other team?
From his team. Yeah, because there was like one or two bench players that got red carded, you know, because I forgot. The ball was on the sideline. It was going to be a throw-in, and then, you know, I don't know if the player like intentionally hit Piojo or nudged him, but then, you know, he went off on him, and that's all you got to do is that short fuse, you know, and the rest of the team will have your back. But it just wasn't the time and place for that. There was still plenty of time left on the clock. But in the end, Atlas León, that's your final. Let's talk about the reason I'm here in Austin. We have Mexico versus Chile. And unlike the usual suspects that Tata usually picks, we have a very, very young squad, including Carlos Acevedo, who is on his way to Bayer Leverkusen. He has been picked up by the same team that believed in Guardado and in Chicharito. We'll see if he gets the start tomorrow, but they also have Malagón and Talavera as goalkeepers. Defenders, they have Eric Aguirre, Araujo, Lara, Olivas, Reyes again, Silva. Midfield, they have Alvarez from LA Galaxy, Uriel Antuna, Fernando Beltran, Omar Campos, Alan Cervantes. And then for forwards, they have Córdoba, Pocho González, Lainez, not Diego Lainez, but his older brother, Lira from Pumas.
Bootleg Lainez.
Bootleg Lainez. Lalo Aguirre, Marcelo Flores, Santiago Jimenez, and a player from Chile. Well, he plays in Chile, Galdames. So a lot of these players, you know, making their debut or really haven't had an opportunity, and they will tomorrow against Chile.
Is this Galdames, was he born in Chile?
I don't think so. I don't know, actually.
What's his full name?
I just have his initial, B. Galdames, Unión Española, Chile.
That's all I need, man. That's the bad computer.
Benjamin, I think. Benjamin Galdames.
He's fine. Oh, he was born in Mexico City.
his father is Chilean.
Ah, there you go. I needed that connection. You beat me to it, Jaime. Go off. Is your 5G, man? I'm still on 2G. Tira the signal. No, because we talked about it. Remember on YouTube, and they talked about youth going to Sudamerica, and we were talking about why it's very difficult for players to times teams, especially if they're still tied to another team in Mex. You know, it's like, we're not going to develop you if you're not going to, you know, the Mex team would basically have to pay. It's just a bad overall system. So I was wondering how this guy got over there. Figured one of his parents, so that's a connection. He probably grew up over there. So he had, still has that, you know, heavy accent. Impressionante. But so this guy, I wouldn't be surprised if he grew up in Chile. And find info.
Yeah, there's really not much on him. He's spent his entire career at Unión Española over there in Chile. His dad was a former footballer, and his father played for Cruz Azul. He played for Unión Española. He played for Veracruz, Racing, Quilmes. So, good to know. But yeah, there's really not much. There is one thing, you know, for people getting their hopes up as far as, oh, look, you know, bunch of new faces, new blood. Tata Martino has already said that he's only looking to fill up maybe 3 or 4 spots for the World Cup roster, which is very disappointing to hear. Because from what that tells me, it does sound like he's going to go with old reliable and I think like the bulk of the team that has been playing the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, we are you saying we want Guardado out? We want all the old folks out?
I don't want Chaka. I mean, I'll be honest, man. Like, even Hector Herrera isn't looking that good. And a lot of these players are just getting called up because of their name, but they're not in the best form. You know, Jonathan Dos Santos doesn't even have a team right now. So, you know, for me, I really hope that these players tomorrow just show that they're hungry and that they are going to do everything possible to get a ticket to the World Cup. You know,
who knows? Oh, Caldames is, they compare him to Vidal.
Interesting. Hmm. The father or the son?
Yeah.
Are you talking about
kid,
the kid? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they call him Vidal, little Vidal. He plays like that. It's a similar style to the what is it, Arturo Vidal?
Hopefully he doesn't pick up the same terrible choices in haircuts and tattoos.
and drunk driving.
Oh, and drunk driving, that's right.
Also, the hype for this dude Flores from Arsenal.
Yes, sir.
I'm seeing a lot of videos, seeing a lot of hype on this dude.
Pushing this narrative, man.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Pocho hype for these two LA Galaxy dudes. Alvarez we've seen, but this other guy, Araujo. I think that's his first call up. And who else?
Can
is
you
on
tell it? Me about Lira from Pumas?
No. Like he's I don't
even know who that is.
I don't even know who that is, dude.
He's like, I don't even know who that is.
Because you should know players from the fifth division. You know? Pumas depends on those guys. You should already know who's in the under 12, you know? Pumitas.
I know players from Tapatio.
I only know all the cool, awesome cat pictures that you send. That's the only thing I know about Pumas.
I do agree, though, as far as Marcelo Flores, there's a lot of hype. And we'll see, you know, we'll see if he lives up. There's also concern that, you know, he still has the one-time switch to Canada. So, you know, we're trying to lock him in for Mexico as soon as possible. I would not be surprised, say he has a very good outing against Chile. Dare I say, even score. I could see Tata Martino calling him up in January for the World Cup qualifiers and just put a bow tie on this thing. I know I would. Also, you know also keep in mind, if he does decide to use the get out of jail free card and switch his national switch his citizenship to Canada, he can no longer play for Mexico. So I do think that there's a lot riding on this game tomorrow, just to see if we can, at least, even if he ends up not panning out or not living up to the hype, at least not allowing him to go to the rival team, which is Canada.
Hey, you know who Eric Lira is?
Who's that?
This is an important detail. Remember when Pumas won some game and they were all celebrating and hyped up and Lira was hyped? He was like pumping his fist and he sees like one of the policemen like holding the flag or like directing traffic or something. And he sort of like smacks him upside the head in celebration, you know, just like hyping everything up and, you know, sort of like a chest bump, but he smacks the policeman upside the helmet. And everyone started raging, like, how can he hit that guy and all this stuff? And
I don't think everyone started getting,
you remember that?
No.
So he was that dude. And then he apologized afterwards. But I'll send you the video. Yeah, I mean, he's a legit dude.
Another player as far as trying to lock him in, Cade Cowell. He's Mexican American. He plays for San Jose Earthquakes. He was called up for the U.S. team for the Relevations Cup, but he also was recently interviewed and said that he doesn't necessarily have his decision yet. He says he's willing to go to a Mexico camp if they invite him. So that's another player that's kind of been 50-50. I don't know, realistically, his chances of playing for Mexico. I don't even think he speaks Spanish, but he is a beast. He's only like 18 years old, and he's definitely something that we don't have on the national team. Just as far as physicality, he kind of reminds me of Hulk.
The player, the Brazilian?
Yeah, just like yoked as fuck.
Watch out. What is it? Your sister's, your brother's wife or something? Your brother's ex-wife?
Oh, why?
Be careful with
him. Was he?
Be careful with a Hulk.
Really?
Didn't the Hulk like marry his brother's sister
his sister too? Let's say it was a half brother, right?
Are you talking about his brother-in-law?
Oh, no. It was his like brother's daughter or something, like his cousin's daughter.
You're tripping.
Yeah, dude. You didn't see that?
I didn't see it. I didn't hear about it. Maybe something I knew was in some scandal.
Let me find it, dude.
I don't know. I don't think there's no bigger scandal than the Argentino that cucked his best friend and stole his wife and kids and tattooed him on himself. And then now he's like cheating on her with somebody else.
I remember seeing that player as a kid. He was under 15. He was at River Plate. He got really huge. He got like, huh? The other guy.
Oh, I forgot his name.
He was married with him. He had like two kids. with the girl that Icardi took. It was his wife. He ended up in Barcelona. He was like 6'5". Huge dude.
All right, I got it. Hulk married the niece of his ex-wife.
Oh, I remember that. He did do that. That's crazy.
She was in China with him.
He was in love.
It was love. They have a kid now.
Oh, they had a kid? Yeah. Oh, that sucks. Hulk smash. Wait, so what would that be to her then? If your sobrina had a...
uncle. Like, he's her... Oh, my
God.
Papi tío?
Tío.
Tío. Oh,
papi tío, dude. Like, no.
How do you explain that to your kid?
It's Brazil, dude. I'm sure it happens a lot. You got some Ronaldinho-looking dudes.
I will say,
that's probably their secret to good soccer, you know?
Yeah,
keep it in the family, dude.
Like, hey, you know, the secret is to keep it in the family. I know Neymar is especially close with his sister. A little bit too close. He's like skipped training and skipped matches for her. So, I don't know, man. Anyways, we got really off topic there. Mexico versus Chile tomorrow in Austin. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to be there. Make sure on Twitter that you all our listeners just tweet at us. Let us know what player you want us to cover. I know for me, I definitely want to see if Marcelo Flores lives up to the hype. I'll definitely be snapping his photo. And who else is on that list? Probably Acevedo.
Oh, God damn. I can see why Hulk did what he did. Yeah, she's really pretty, man. All right, I'm sorry, Jaime. I'm sorry.
It must be. She must be pretty bad because you guys are super sidetracked. Is her name Camila?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Dude, it's like straight up Beauty and the Beast, man. That guy is pretty ugly.
He has the heart of gold, though.
But, you know, it is Brazil, man, like you mentioned. They'll do anything to get out of the favelas.
She don't look like she was in no favela, though.
Yeah, the favela girls look pretty rough.
All right, guys. Well, it's close to midnight over here in Austin. Very excited for tomorrow's match.
What time is the game, Jaime?
So the game will be at 9 o'clock. That's over here. So West Coast would be 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Good, good. I'll be watching. It'll be fun just to see some of these guys. Like you said, I'm amistoso. I wouldn't put any high expectations. Just to see what they do, you know, what players look good, or sometimes what players link up, you know, every now and then you get players that work well together. And we didn't really talk much about Acevedo. He went to Bayern, right? He's supposed to, I think it was official.
I don't know. It hasn't been unveiled yet, but, I mean, it's pretty much unofficially official.
Oh. Right. I've seen in this now from Transfer Market.
It just says Tucson. Wait, what?
They're saying that it's not true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Oh, no.
They're denying it, so.
Reports out of Mexico suggest that Bayer Leverkusen will sign goalkeeper Carlos Acevedo. Fox Sports was the first to report about Leverkusen's interest in the Santos Laguna's goalkeeper. Local outlet not only confirmed the story, but reported that the deal was now in place. Those reports, however, have been shut down by Bayer Leverkusen sporting director Simon Rofles on Sunday. Wow. The rumors about us signing Acevedo are nonsense. Oh, no. Why do they do this?
Everyone ran with it. And there was some... there's some people that have some pretty good credibility, and unless the deal fell through, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless it fell through, and you'll say it's nonsense, just so that.
For me, like, especially in Germany, like, number one, do you know how hard it is for a goalkeeper to make it abroad? Because most teams are not willing to give up a foreigner spot. You know, in the goalkeeping position, because they rather just have, you know, a domestic player. And Germany has a lot of great goalkeepers. So, you know, for me, it's like, why, you know, I doubt that he would, that, you know, for me, it didn't make sense, but everyone kept saying it was official, that, so I just ran with it. But man, you know, it's the same rumor about Antuna and Cordoba. You know, it's not going to go through, and it makes me wonder if it was even true to begin with. In the modern day of football, you know, nowadays the agent, in order to get a better contract or, you know, get a commission, they'll start, you know, reaching out to the press and start fabricating these rumors in order to put pressure on the club so they get a better deal. So, I mean, I don't know if that was the case with Sebastian Cordoba and Antuna. I know Carlos Acevedo recently just renewed his contract with Santos, so these rumors just don't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. It happens a lot. You know, we see it with Chivas all the time. And it's sometimes it's fun, but the Acevedo one, there was too many, like I said, a couple of reputable already talking about it as they jumped the gun.
I wonder if coincidentally he gets called up for this match tomorrow. Do you think that was what they just try to hype him up just so that would be like, okay, all right, fine, I'll see what this kid's about. Because there was rumors about him joining Chivas, and then now there's this rumor about Leverkusen, and then all of a sudden he gets called up.
Was it last season or the one before? He was like rated as one of the best or the best goalkeepers. He's been putting solid performances now, you know.
No, yeah, he has.
So I don't think it was that. I do think that there could have been something there, and maybe the deal fell through. So they kind of have to deny it, because then, you know, just other teams might figure out, oh, they need a, you know, do they need a keeper? Because I know they have a solid keeper. So the thing was, if he went to Germany, to Bayern, Leverkusen, it would have been a suplente and not as the starting goalkeeper.
Correct.
But at the same time, you know, if you're bringing in a player of like Acevedo caliber, it would be because your main keeper, who's their captain, by the way, maybe you're thinking he might be leaving in a year or two. So you're already trying to have his replacement in order. So who knows? Who knows what's going on? I feel there was some level of truth.
Well, I'll promise you guys tomorrow, if there's any opportunity for me to get an interview with him, I'll ask him straight up and see, hey, what the fuck's going on with your...
He's not going to say shit. He's going to be like, well, you reached out. And
I'll be like, yo, off the record. Is this...
All right, off the record, well. Recording.
Between me, you, and this fence post, you know. What's going on, man? Nah, for sure. All right, guys, any closing thoughts before we put a bow tie on this episode?
Kiki's closing thoughts.
Todos somos Atlas.
I don't know. That's true, man. There's a lot of people that don't want Atlas to win.
Yeah. No, good show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for inviting you.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'm just glad you're back after being gone.
Yeah, it's like a month-long, two-month hiatus.
Sabbatical.
Maybe three months.
It's been a while.
Retired.
Been busy. Retired. Came back out of retirement. Don't have my internet up or about to running yet, but we'll have it up soon.
Oh, that's what's going on. Your new place doesn't have internet. You're trying to get what, Google Fiber? What are you trying to get in there?
I gotta get HughesNet.
Yikes.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm making an excuse. My internet's not working.
Joel, any closing thoughts?
No, not really, but I think it could be historical for Atlas to big second, you know, if they win, put that big end their drought, their what, almost 80-year drought. So it's gonna be interesting to see that, to see what happens. And I'm guessing if they win and things start looking up, if Grupo Orlegi can replicate with Atlas what they did with Santos, I do feel that that's going to become their main team, and Santos is going to take the back seat. We talked about it before, how Iraragorri, his focus is to go to Europe. And even if it takes him, what, 10 years or whatever, 10 more years, I should say, you know, but I do think he'll probably try to, you know, get to a club's World Cup and all that. But I do feel he could use Atlas as a springboard and then kind of make his move somewhere down the line. So we could be looking at, I'm not going to say dynasty, but like, you know, an Atlas that's going to be more imposing. And so Chivo Hermano should worry a bit there. You know, the next door neighbor now is no longer that pushover.
The noisy neighbor, they're getting noisy right now. For me, you know, there is that rivalry between Atlas and Chivas, but at the end of the day, it's still Estadio Jalisco. It's still La Ciudad de Guadalajara, and I'd rather it go there than to Guanajuato. So I'm rooting for Atlas. Maybe by doing that, I end up cursing them, but it's been 70 years. I think it's time the fans ate, you know, the curse of the Bambino was lifted. The curse of the Billy Goat for the Chicago Cubs has been lifted. You got Cruz Azul with the monkey off their back, and I think this is the final one. You know, if Atlas were to pull this off, I think it'd be great for the city of Guadalajara. What I can tell you is tomorrow there is going to be, we're being blessed by the football gods. We have Bayern Munich going up against Barcelona, and we all know that Lewandowski was sort of cheated out of a Ballon d'Or, and you just know that tomorrow he's just going to go off on Barcelona. And then you have Mexico versus Chile, and then the next day on Thursday we have the first leg of the Liga MX final between León and Atlas. So we have been blessed by the football gods this week.
Yes, we have. Good week to watch football.
For all the listeners that will be listening to this throughout the week, just want to apologize for the sound quality and the fire alarm that set everybody off. But want to thank everyone for their ongoing support. Tomorrow, Cantina MX will be on the field for the Chile versus Mexico match. Yeah, if you see us out there, just say hello.
Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.